Let's begin with a question, and let's let John the Baptist ask it. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized, and John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Now, John there is asking a question that I wanted to ask myself for many years. Why? Even when I was very young, this story confused me. I had a problem with this very early. I'd been taught that Jesus was sinless, and I'd also learned that baptism was about washing away sin, a shower for the soul. Now, why should a sinless man be cleansed from sin? Now, when I was a little older, I came to understand that John was calling others to repent. Well, that made sense for me. Even a child can understand. Well, everybody has to repent over and over. I certainly did. But again, why Jesus? What did he have to repent of, if what we are told is true? It seemed like asking an innocent person to confess, which would be a lie. Then I learned that repentance actually meant changing one's mind. Not changing one's opinion, but actually altering one's mind, making one's own mind different. Well, why did Jesus need to do that? His mind already seemed to be all right. And then finally, I came to understand John's question in another way, in the way that John seemed to have meant it. "Look," John says, "it's I who should be baptized by you. I, John, baptize all these others, these faithful people, these Pharisees, these soldiers, and so on, because God has given me the authority, and they know it, and I know it." Then he says, "You see, I, John, know that you, Jesus, have more authority than I do. So shouldn't you ask for my repentance, and shouldn't I ask you for baptism?" And then finally, when I was older still, I got to thinking a lot about the sacraments. For one thing, how all the sacraments involve matter, and that the matter always made sense, an outward and visible sign of the inner invisible reality, as the old catechism puts it. And actually, it's one of the few things the current catechism keeps almost word for word. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual grace given by Christ as sure and certain means by which we receive that grace. Now, the marriage ring with its sign of eternity and preciousness, the communion bread and wine with their signs of nourishment and spirit, they seem to go with the sacraments. Well, the matter of baptism, of course, is water. And the first thing we discover about water when we're very, very small is that we wash in it. And so John's question is a good question. In fact, the truth is there's an even bigger question behind John's question, which is, what is baptism? But Jesus' answer to me did not seem so good. Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What did that mean? Was there some prophecy that I never noticed about the Messiah needing to be baptized? I don't think so. What is being fulfilled here? Is this a just-in-case sort of thing? Well, of course not. That would be silly. "It is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Now, I'd read many clever scholarly explanations of this over the years, and I wasn't satisfied with any of them. I never sensed that I'd really understood what he was talking about. Then I read a 12th century teacher named Rabanus. He was a teacher that Charlemagne invited to his palace school to teach. That means that Rabanus lived about 1,200 years ago. And I find it very satisfying. And satisfying, too, that someone that lived that long ago came up with an answer that actually I like the best. Rabanus also looks at the water, the matter that you do baptism with. But he does not say, of course, water is for washing. Instead, well, here's what Rabanus says. Baptism is by water for this reason. The Lord willed that this element, in a way invisible, but in fact can be seen and touched, that this element, this matter, be used, because it's the matter over which the Holy Spirit was born in the beginning. For just as oil in its lightness naturally floats in any other liquid, so at the beginning the Holy Spirit hovered above the waters. And just as the outer body is cleansed with water, so in this mystery the soul is cleansed by the Spirit. This is our consecration. For when God is invoked, the Holy Spirit descends from the heavens and sanctifies those medicinal waters. They receive the power of cleansing. In them the polluted body and soul are cleansed. Both of these must be adhered to. The washing and the cleansing, for as the Savior says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless reborn by water and the Spirit. So that reminds us that the baptism and the Spirit are very closely related. And of course, we hear that in the story of Jesus' own baptism today. And we'll hear it as well as we baptize the child Carter today. Listen closely to the words Father Patrick will use at the font. He will say, now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of the Spirit, that this child who is here cleansed from sin and righteousness may be born again forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Savior. This girl is to be cleansed from sin. And that part has not been canceled. But she is also to be born again. Jesus said, he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Now, so often that means that Jesus gives new meaning to the old without canceling it. The Passover is the classic example of that. What was and still is a celebration of the delivery from Egypt becomes for us also, and on another stratum, so to speak, also a celebration of our delivery from death. And even more deeply, while other religions say that death is an illusion, it's not real. And cynical philosophies say that death is very real and the final reality. Christianity says neither of the above. Death is real, but it's not final. It's the doorway to the Father. So just as Easter is still about the rescue from Pharaoh, so baptism is still about the washing of sins. But just as our Passover is even more deeply about our rescue from death, so our baptism is not only about being washed, but it's about drowning. It's about dying to an old self and rising from the water, born again in the Spirit. Father Patrick will sum it up in just a few moments in these words. The baptism does two things. It offers forgiveness of sins, and it raises to the new life in Christ. Turn to the Catechism again. The Catechism says, what is holy baptism? Holy baptism is the sacrament by which God adopts us as his children and makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God. Three things. Adopts us as children, makes us members of Christ's body, makes us inheritors of the kingdom. What happened to the washing? What happened to the forgiveness? Well, it's still there, but it's not primary. The inward and spiritual grace in baptism is union with Christ in his death and resurrection, birth into Christ's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and the new life in the Holy Spirit. What is the most important moment in baptism? Well, most people will say, well, it's the moment when he says, I baptize you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, that is supremely important. In fact, the whole rite is supremely important. But for me, the most important moment of all is what many people think of as an afterthought. And I invite you to pay close attention to it when you say it today, because we're all going to say it together. It's that moment when we welcome the newly baptized. When we do, we affirm everything that has just happened. Here's what we will say. We receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,